You're listening to Pastor Stephen G. Lightfoot's podcast, Sermons and Homilies by the Reverend Stephen G. Lightfoot. Pastor Stephen is an ordained elder in the Global Methodist Church and serves as senior pastor to First Methodist Church Splendora and Shepherd Methodist Church in Southeast Texas. Here is today's episode. So it is indeed Resurrection Sunday. If you were here Friday night, you would have seen just exactly why Resurrection Sunday is so glorious a day in the life of humanity. Jesus went to the cross for you and for me, indeed for all the sins of the world. And just as he said, 3 days later, he rose from the grave. Hallelujah. Amen. Resurrection Sunday, perhaps more widely known in the world as Easter Sunday. And people all over the world are celebrating today, believers and followers of Jesus Christ, to be sure. But also those who look upon this day as a cultural celebration. The spring season is upon us. You see, to the secular world, Easter is more about chocolate rabbits and pastel eggs and baskets full of candy and toys. Here comes Peter Cottontail hopping down the bunny trail. Hippity hoppity, Easter's on its way, right? You've heard it. I know when I was a child, Easter was about that to me. Not quite as exciting as Christmas, but still exciting in its own right. A brightly wrapped chocolate rabbit, a Pez dispenser. Do they still have Pez dispensers? Yep. Good. That's a good thing. A Hot Wheels car, an Easter egg hunt, and my Easter celebration was complete. Yes, we went to church. Yes, we sang the hymns. Mrs. Shields, my Sunday school teacher, would talk about Jesus and use churchy words like crucifixion and resurrection. She'd talk about the tomb being empty, and all the children would answer her questions with a well-placed Jesus or God. Every answer in Sunday school when you're a kid is either Jesus or God, no matter what the question. Who was on the cross? Jesus. Who was in the tomb? Jesus. Who rose from the dead? Jesus. Jimmy, are you paying attention? Jesus. All the kids were thinking ahead to what came after Sunday school. The egg hunt. The baskets full of goodies. The trappings of Easter centered on the central figure of the Easter season. You might be thinking, Jesus. But clearly for us as kids, and for most of the world today, the central figure of Easter is not Jesus at all, but the Easter Bunny. E.B., the big rabbit. If I'm totally transparent, it wasn't until much later in life that I came to the heart-filled, down-to-my-soul understanding of Eastertide, which is a 50-day celebration, not just one. It's a time in the church as we live into our calling as an Easter people, a people of new life in the resurrection power of Christ. See, with the resurrection, we've been given a magnificent gift. Our slates, no matter how stained they were, our slates have been wiped clean by what Jesus did on the cross. Our sins are forgiven. We're cleansed of our iniquities by the purifying blood of the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. See, our responsibility now is to live lives worthy of the gift that we've been given. We now have to lean into the Christ power within us. and live a holy life. And you might be thinking, Pastor, what exactly is a holy life? We do that by developing our spiritual disciplines until they become a lifestyle. We practice holiness until we are holy. 1 John 1:7 tells us, if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. And so you see, it's this holiness, scriptural holiness, that is our desired outcome in all of this. Not just today, but every Sunday. And not just on Sunday, but every day. It's all about attaining scriptural holiness. We're putting all of our eggs in the resurrection basket. We're claiming the resurrection power of Christ to move us forward into holiness of life, into holiness of thought, into holiness of action, just as God and his word calls us to, instructs us to, encourages us to, and yes, commands us to. Now, at this point in our discussion, as my grandkids would say, can we just be real? At some point in this life, we all need to get serious about our eternal future. 1 Corinthians 13:11 says, when I was a child, I used to speak like a child. I used to think like a child. I used to reason like a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Which tells me it's time in our spiritual lives, in your faith walk, it's time to put away the chocolate rabbits and the pastel eggs. It's time to become a mature follower of Jesus Christ. It's time to fully engage in God's word, to read it, to study it, to learn it, and most importantly, to live it. Now, there's never any condemnation from this pulpit. There's never any condemnation from God the Father. The only time you'll ever be judged is when you finally stand in front of Jesus, who has been appointed the judge. But we're having a frank conversation this morning. So, if you came to church this Easter Sunday, I'm here to tell you there's a 99.99% chance that the church will be open again next Sunday. Now, I leave that 0.01% in case Jesus comes back between now and next Sunday. Can't be 100%, because if Jesus comes back, this place will be empty. The parking lot will be empty. It won't be hard to find a place to park. The question is, next Sunday, where will you be? If you're not a regular Bible study participant here in Shepherd's, it's on Tuesday night. And I realize you may be somewhere else most of the time and you're just visiting us today. But when it's time to study the Bible in whatever church you attend, are you there? If you're not there, where are you getting your weekly biblical nourishment, which are the spiritual nutrients that enable you to grow into a full-grown Christ follower? Remember, we're having an honest discussion here this morning. And I get that we all have busy lives and that time is precious. I hear that a lot. But business is just a matter of arranging our priorities in the proper order. And time, well, that is an accurate statement. Time is precious. Time is something that is both short and eternally long at the same time. Time is short and eternally long at the same time. It's short in the sense that no one knows how much time they have left in the world. And it's eternal in the sense that each of us, our eternal beings, who will spend eternity somewhere. Our choices now determine where we ultimately end up. Shouldn't securing our eternity and the eternity for those who we love be the number one checkbox on our busy life to-do list? In our epistle for this morning, the Apostle Paul writes to the church in Corinth. And you've heard me say enough times that when Paul writes to a church, he's writing to this church. Indeed, he's writing to the whole church. And he says in 1 Corinthians 15, starting at verse 19, if we have hoped in Christ only in this life, we are of all people most to be pitied. But the fact is, Paul says, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep. For since by a man death came, by a man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all will be made alive, but each in his own order. Christ, the first fruits. After that, those who are Christ's at his coming. Then comes the end, when he hands over the kingdom of our God and Father, when he has abolished all rule and all authority and all power, for he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet, and the last enemy that will be abolished is death. See, Paul's telling us that there's a perfect order established in the resurrection. There's a point, in other words, to Resurrection Sunday. There's a purpose for Easter beyond the bunny. Just to make sure we're all on the same page here, turn to your neighbor and say, rabbits don't save. Rabbits don't save. No, they do not. Some of them may taste very good, but they don't save. There is no salvation quality in any rabbit anywhere, chocolate or otherwise. Paul is saying, if all we get out of Christ is a little inspiration for a few short years, then we're a pretty sorry lot as Christians. Well, thanks be to God, that's not true. The truth is that Christ has been raised up, the first in a long legacy of those who are going to leave the cemeteries, leave death behind. There's a really nice symmetry in all this. Death initially came by a man, Adam, and resurrection from death came by a man, Jesus. Everybody dies in Adam. Everybody comes alive in Christ. But the thing is, there's an order to things in God's kingdom. We have to wait our turn. Christ is first, then those who are with him at his coming, and then the grand consummation when, after crushing the opposition, Jesus hands over his kingdom to God the Father. And Jesus is not going to let up until the last enemy is put down, and the last enemy is death. So what does this all mean to us? Spiritually mature people in Christ live their lives abiding in the eternal hope of the resurrection. And when I say hope, I mean certainty, the certainty of the resurrection. You see, we're an Easter people with the eternal assurance that in knowing Christ fully, we will be fully known by him when we finally meet him face to face. Now, there's some things you should know about knowing Christ. Knowing Christ fully requires that you learn his word, that you study his word, so that you can live into his promises. How do you know his promises if you've never read his promises? Promises of a place prepared for you in your future. Promises of his abiding love and presence in this life, here and now, as we journey through this life on our way to scriptural holiness and to our eternity. See, knowing Christ fully requires that we participate in the life of the church, which is the body of Christ in motion in the world. Knowing Christ fully requires that we worship passionately, that we love extravagantly, that we witness boldly, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, we make disciples of Jesus Christ throughout the earth who flourish in scriptural holiness. You see, the resurrection has a mission: to know Christ and to make Christ known. And so this Easter Sunday, as the sun rises on the risen Son of God, make it a new beginning in your life in the world. Change the trajectory of your life to ensure you end up in the eternity that includes abundant life and not the alternative. And while you're in this life, pruning the priorities of your life now will cause your life to flourish in all the ways that truly matter. Embrace the power of the resurrection to transform you into a child of the Most High God, who is fully known by him. I'd like to see a bunny do that. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you for listening to today's podcast. Come back again next week for a new message. And until then, may God bless you and keep you.